Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Your job as the owner of the business is to support your team. Our job at 3D as 3D Dentists is to help train your team on a philosophy that works, that will take your practice through the 2020s, because the 1990s and 2000s are long gone. And that style of practice is not going to take you to 2030 and be extraordinary. And that's what we do here at 3D Dentist. We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple and dentistry should be simple. It's another week, Dentistry Made Simple. I'm your host, T-Bone, and I'm once again joined by Meredith Cooper-Jones.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing, Meredith?
Good.
How's baby life?
It's good.
Wonderful. Yeah. Let's move on from that.
T-Bone loves babies, if anyone didn't
know.
No,
I do. I do.
No, you don't.
I love
He's
kids.
Scared. He loves kids. He's scared
I love
of
kids.
Babies.
The babies, because I'm just afraid
so
I'm going to
fragile.
Drop them,
so I bring
or they're going to throw up on me, or I'm going to have to clean. Really, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to clean up poop.
Yeah, well, that's not that bad.
That's
so
horrible.
Really, I bring her by, and everyone's freaking out, and they're always like, T-Bone, do you want her? And he's like, I'm busy.
Yeah, I don't like babies. I love
it's
kids.
Okay. He's held her. He's
I even like teenagers, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, so nonetheless, listen, one of the themes that we had at the 3D Growth Summit in Nashville a few weeks back was going all in. And I know we've done several podcasts talking about this next thing, but I want to go in deeper because without doubt, this is probably one of the most important things holding your practice back from being extraordinary. And it's one of the things where we get so many questions. And so today I want to talk about clarifying the role and position of having a treatment coordinator. So that's what we're going to talk about today, because if you're interested in being extraordinary and doing more specialty type dentistry, doing fewer well-planned visits, if you bought into the things we talk about here, having a treatment coordinator in your practice is critically important. Now, if you say, I have a treatment coordinator, I still want you to listen and really ask yourself, do you truly have a dedicated treatment coordinator at the end of this episode? And do you have them doing the most important things first in your practice?
Yes. So that's exactly what I was going to say with the dedicated is I think this is what brings so much value to a practice and to a team member. And when I asked in one of our last mastermind team calls, they said, yes, I said, who has a dedicated treatment coordinator in your practice? And the two people who said that they did.
Didn't.
It wasn't dedicated.
Yeah.
It was split between a couple people, whoever was available, which is fine. But then when it comes to follow up, who does what falls through the cracks. And I just think having one, and it's the same thing, taking the role off of half of two people and dedicating one person would be so much more value to your practice.
So in other words, you're saying two half-assers aren't as good as one dedicated person?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I would agree with that.
Well, it's not a half-asser. It's
what
falls through the cracks, kind of. It's too many hands in the pot.
Yeah.
So let's get into kind of clarifying that role of what a treatment coordinator is and what they do day to day.
Yeah, so this conversation came up. I was just doing one of my mastermind coaching calls with Dr. Ben Height and his office manager, Kendra.
Shout out.
Yeah, I love Ben. Ben's all in. He's trying to win, man. I love that with Ben. And Kendra was asking me the question. She says, like, what does this person do?
Yep, and so she was on with me the other day.
Yeah, so what I immediately thought of, she's like, what are they going to do if they're not seeing a patient? I'm like, so there's this thing in dentistry where we believe that if you don't see a patient, you're doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Like that.
And if your hands are not working,
you're doing nothing.
Or cleaning, then you should be cleaning instruments.
Yeah, exactly. And so what went through, I had a good conversation with Ben and Kendra about what our success path of what a good treatment coordinator does. And so that's what I kind of want to walk through this is, number one, the first thing and most important thing that a treatment coordinator is doing is they're doing the treatment presentation. So they're available for all hygiene and limited exam patients or any patient that comes through the practice. And in our practice, anything that's more than a single visit, okay, and or if somebody's truly, truly running behind, then that patient gets transferred, the baton gets passed to the treatment coordinator to take over the completion of their presentation and scheduling their appointment. So first and foremost, that's treatment presentation. Now, Meredith, you've been in this role. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about what the treatment presentation itself looks like.
So treatment presentation, the reason you need to be available kind of is for this, because at any time hygiene could, you know, one, we schedule consults. So yeah.
We'll leave that further down the road. That's going to be
number one. So this is just
from
hygiene.
Yeah.
Hygiene transfers. So typically, I mean, depending on how many hygienists you have, but most people have
two to three, five
hygienists at one time. So a hygienist letting you know, we use radios. So saying, hey, I'm going to have a patient that's going to have a lot of treatment. If you could step in for this exam, if you could have a financial menu ready, and if you could present this to the patient, you know, that could be happening 2 to 5 times an hour.
In theory, theoretically, yes.
Typically, maybe happens 1 to 2 times an hour.
Yeah.
And so in between that time, that's when these other things come in. But I would say that is your priority, presenting and the transfer from hygiene to the doctor column, the liaison of hygiene to doctor and back.
And the truth is you got to be available.
Right.
Like having a person as a treatment coordinator, but they're never available because they're on the phone with the insurance company or they're on the phone with XYZ or they're checking in the patient. Like that makes you not available. Right. You may have a treatment coordinator, but they're not available.
And then what could make you cringe? I think at one point you said, we will not send financial menus over email.
Did
you get it that day?
Yes.
Or we schedule them to come back, or they will not get, I'd rather them not get the plan.
Yeah, that's just kicking the can down the curb. That's so impersonal. It doesn't work. It doesn't work as well. So the first thing, the success path, is we want them to be available for the treatment presentation. So that means in our office, they'll put together the treatment plan out of your software. They'll put together the financial menu. They'll sit down with the patient, go over the treatment, be able to answer some basic questions about the treatment, and then work with the patient to help them come up with a plan of how it fits into their life, whether that's doing some of the treatment, none of the treatment, or all of the treatment, whether that's doing it as slow, as fast as they want, getting all of that planned out, put together, scheduled, financials run, credit card run, third party run, whatever it is, getting all that done, that is the first most important role that they do.
They are truly the patient's advocate.
Yeah, absolutely. They got to be the concierge and advocate to help the patient choose what's best in their life right now. And sometimes you got to push people a little bit to help them choose what really is going to be best for them, you know?
For them, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is treatment presentation.
Yeah.
So let's get into the next of the four steps, and that would be treatment follow-up.
Yeah. This is where dentists really overthink and get in the way. They believe that you should always be answering calls, and I have an argument that we should be making calls. And so,
except for overdue hygiene calls,
unless your hygiene's empty,
if you need it, right?
Yeah, but so treatment follow up. Now, imagine what would happen. I want you to think this to yourself. Do you really have a process in place where you actually follow up with patients that say no to the dentistry that you recommend to them outside of an automated message? Okay, and the truth is 90% of us do not. And what would happen to your practice? And on average, I bet you most of the people, most of you listening, have somewhere between $1 and $5 million in unscheduled treatment that's been presented at some point in time, or treatment plan at some point in time in your practice in the last few years, just sitting there. And what would happen if you had a human being that they had time, dedicated time, and their job was to call all of these patients slowly and surely in priority order, whatever makes most sense, for what you want your practice to be, what would happen? And almost everybody I asked this question to, well, yeah, of course we'd do more dentistry. I'm like, duh, then why are you trying to get somebody to be a treatment coordinator and a phone answer and an insurance caller and checking in patients and checking out? It doesn't make sense. So Meredith, when you were doing this, what did your treatment follow-up look like?
So we used the 222.
Okay.
That's kind of just what we nicknamed it, but we would call them in 2 days, 2 weeks, and 2 months.
Because you call them.
So we would touch base.
Yeah, touch base, call or text. Typically,
yes. Call or a personal text. Yeah. If they don't want to use their cell phones, you can text from the practice management softwares or whatever you're using. But we would call or text the patients and get in contact with them 2, 2, and 2.
Yeah.
If they weren't ready to move forward, or they said, you know, usually they'd say, hey, now's not really a good time. Yeah. Then we would put it again at their 6 month follow up or 6 month recare visit. You know, we'll follow up with this. I'd like to see this patient after their appointment to touch base on this again. Cause then you're touching base in person. So, you know, calls and texts are good, but if they're not moving forward, at least we've tried and then we're going to try again in 6 months. But typically by that 2 week mark, they've had a chance to the usuals. I got to check with my husband. Yeah. I got to look at my work schedule.
Well, some people have to check with their wives too.
Yeah. So whatever that is, by that point, they've usually done that. And sometimes it's just, you get busy.
Yeah.
Like an example of this is I went on to buy, my husband doesn't listen to the podcast, but I went on to buy him tickets.
Did you have a shopping problem?
No, that is half true. I went on to buy him NC State football tickets for Father's Day.
Okay.
I didn't finish checking out, but I filled out everything. I picked which ones I wanted, all this. Someone called me a week later. And I was like, yes, I do want these. I've just been really busy.
Yeah.
And so
it's amazing how that works,
yes.
Isn't it?
So that's nice. That's kind of the same thing we're doing. Hey, just checking in.
Yeah.
You know, what can we help you with to help you get this in? Or we have availability here. Yeah. Just seeing if that works for
Creates
you.
Some urgency.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So again, role one is a role of the most important things. They're all important, is treatment presentation, being available on the fly for hygiene and limited exams to do the case presentation and treatment planning, case presentation, and financial arrangements for the patients that come out of hygiene and limited menus, limited column. And then number two is those patients that don't say yes right away, we've got to follow up with those patients. We've got to work our book of business. That is a basic business sales principle. If you have an opportunity to present to somebody, somebody is going to follow up with them like some human, not some automated text, not some automated email. Some human being is going to follow up with the customer. So think about this and anything you've tried to buy, whether it's a car, whether it's, you know, a home, or whether it's anything, somebody follows up with you, whether it's tickets to a football game because you have a shopping problem like Meredith.
I feel like that's like the opposite of a shopping problem.
It's still
a
shopping problem. You know, somebody does a follow-up. The next stage is once that treatment coordinator gets good at these two things, and by the way, those two things alone can be a full-time job.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be all you do every day, and it'll be totally, totally worthwhile. But the next thing I try to work on our treatment coordinators with is becoming kind of a new patient coordinator along with the treatment coordinator. And what I mean by this is your treatment coordinator is going to reach out to the new patients after they schedule your front office. Your normal business team will schedule the new patient appointment. They'll send a message over to your treatment coordinator that so-and-so made an appointment, and the treatment coordinator would reach out to the person, introduce themselves, say, hey, I'm going to meet you at your first visit. I'm your person. You know, I'm here to make sure you have a great visit, and yeah, any questions you have or anything you need with the practice, I'm your best contact point. I'm here to make it happen for you. And reach out to them. And then when the patient comes in, that person's there to greet them. They'll transfer them to the hygienist, and then you already have a direct relationship with the patient. And so when they're done, if they have any treatment needs, the treatment coordinator will see them afterwards. And that's kind of that new patient connection that we want to create. So do you kind of remember these parts of your job when you were a treatment coordinator?
Well, yeah, I think you're basically, and I'll have something to add with this with the next one, but I think you're basically just creating that connection so that they feel they trust you and they do feel like you're their advocate. So when you are presenting $10,000
or even through $2,000-$3,000,
right, they trust that you're presenting the right thing because you truly care about them. And what I was going to say is this is just more than dentistry. Kind of leads into, after our new patient connection, we're going to talk about consults. Yeah. But my mother-in-law just had cosmetic eye surgery. Yeah. And she said she's friends with the treatment, basically what they would call, what would be our treatment coordinator, right? Yeah. So I said, oh, my mom wants to have that done. She goes, oh, well, I can text her. I can get her in. It's a 6-month wait to get a consult. I had to wait 6 months to get a consult, but now we're friends.
Yeah.
So I can get her in. And in my head, I'm thinking, she's not your friend. You just spent a lot of money there, you know? Like, but she made her feel
there's a connection.
That was her friend. Yeah. They text. And so guess what? She got my mom in and I'm like, I want to go to that consult with you because I want to see how cosmetic.
It's the same thing.
It is.
Sales is sales.
Right.
But whether we're selling eyes or
teeth,
breasts or whatever, you know?
But I want to see how they treat you, what their financial menu is like.
What their follow-up is like.
Yes. I want to see all these things because that is very similar to how we're doing things to see what we can learn and grow. And so that goes into our next thing is consults.
Yeah.
Which I feel like are super valuable to be available for these consults because when somebody calls and says, I want to get in or I want to have my teeth done. Yeah. Like they're thinking that they want that. Mm-hmm. So to push that out sounds crazy to push that out, to have somebody available to answer phones.
And especially when you start spending good money on marketing, this can't be doctor time, you know, because you do a lot of, what do they call it? Kissing frogs or kissing toads?
Yeah. Kissing toads.
Kissing
find
toads.
Your prince.
Yeah. You got to kiss a lot of toads to find your prince patients. And princer patients. Okay. Whatever it is. Okay. You have to kiss a lot of toads. And so what I learned early on when I started doing marketing was I was doing the consults myself on the doctor schedule. I was like, this is bordering on insane.
Yeah, because a lot of people are still doing that.
Yeah, and that so now we've moved our consults into the treatment coordinator column. It removes the barrier of my time, and then the treatment coordinator creates a connection. And then if the treatment coordinator finds that the patient is truly interested, and I need to meet them, I'll walk in and meet them. It's like that's my version of hygiene checks today. And so the fourth thing of the most important things that the treatment coordinator does is they do consults and records. So they're not just doing the consults, you know, they're not then calling an assistant in. They learn how to do records too. They learn how to take CBCT. They learn how to take photographs. They learn how to take digital impressions. They learn how to take bites if that's the kind of dentistry that you're doing that needs special bites. They learn how to do all of these things. So that way they're truly the patient advocate. And what happens when your patient has a connection with a team member is magical in the practice. Listen, I can't go backwards, okay? So the three most important things I did in my practice, kind of slightly off topic here. Mm-hmm. Number one was photography. Photography was so critically important to me. Number two was sedation. Now being able to move people into fewer well-planned visits because I gave them a compelling reason through sedation to do that. And then number three was having a dedicated treatment coordinator. Those three things have been so far the most important things I've implemented in my practice over the last 23, 24 years to allow us to taste a little bit of success. And so, look, our message at the 3D Summit was what, Meredith? Go
all in.
All in, okay? Yeah. And if you're ready to go all in on yourself and your team, get a dedicated treatment coordinator. If you don't understand how to train that person, what they're going to do, you want somebody to just do it for you, that's what 3D Dentist is here for. Your job as the owner of the business is to support your team. Our job as 3D Dentists is to help train your team on a philosophy that works, that will take your practice through the 2020s, because the 1990s and 2000s are long gone, and that style of practice is not going to take you to 2030 and be extraordinary, and that's what we do here at 3D Dentists. If you love the message we're talking about, you say, hey, how do I do more of this? How do I get a treatment coordinator? How do I get less busy? How do I do more of the dentistry I want? How do I get more productive and profitable? Look, one solution, 3D Mastermind Coaching Program. It is phenomenal. The first 6 months are dedicated to the dentist to get you clear about what you want and to implement the fundamental concepts. And then started at month six, that's when we start team mastermind and team training and getting your team members fired up and your team members on board. And that's when the real acceleration and magic starts happening. Look, we run a mastermind program in July and January of each year. Look, Meredith knows how many people there are or aren't in this. She's in charge of all of that. My job is to vet the people and to make sure that you're a good fit so that we can be successful together. And there we go. So if you're ready to go all in, take your practice to another level, 3D Mastermind Coaching is where you need to be. Thank you for tuning in this week. We'll see you guys next week.